Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Well, this evening, we're going to continue with the parable of the sower, as recorded for us in Matthew chapter 13, from verse 3 to 9. Then he spoke many things in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and some fell on the stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then some fall among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on the ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Last Sunday we spoke about this last sentence. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, the challenging thing about Jesus' parables is that we need a teachable and a hearing heart to be able to receive the truth of the kingdom. But this hearing and this teachable heart is also necessary for this truth to produce in us. It's not just necessary for us to receive it. It's also necessary for us to have this truth actually grow in us and produce a harvest. And that is really what the Lord is looking for, is to see that in us He will grow and it will manifest through us in the way we live our lives. Jesus spoke to the crowd in parables, but to His disciples He gave the interpretation. It was not to the casual crowd, but to His committed followers. Jesus spoke to the crowd in parables, but afterwards, the disciples will come to Him and ask Him, "Lord, please explain to us these parables." It was not to the casual crowd, but to the committed followers. And today, we're going to listen to the interpretation of this parable. And my prayer is really that as we listen to the interpretation, that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So let us pray. Father, we thank You that as we come to You, Lord, You speak truth. Only You have the words of eternal life. Father, as we come to You this evening, Lord, we pray that You will open our ears to hear, Lord, that You will prepare our hearts to receive Your word. Not just to hear physically, but to hear spiritually, Lord. Not just to hear to know, but to hear to become. Lord, I pray that this word will become alive in us and will shape us, and we will become like the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18, therefore, Jesus starts to explain this parable. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away that was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he received the seed among the thorns, so he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold." It's such a powerful parable. And I think one of the most striking aspects of this parable and Jesus explaining the truth behind it is this concept about the seed of the kingdom. The seed of the kingdom. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God. I want us just to close our eyes for a moment. You know, because a seed is the most insignificant thing in life. It is so small. It is so fragile. It is so insignificant. Yet God speaks of the seed of the kingdom. Within a seed, we find life. When that seed germinates, it grows and it produces its purpose. And here, God, and I just want you to close your eye for a moment and just meditate on this thought that the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. The word of God is the seed of the kingdom. The word of God is the seed of the kingdom. Now, the Jews had an expectation of a sudden dynamic apocalyptic kingdom that will come at once suddenly and destroy all evil, and all the enemies of Israel would be destroyed at once as the kingdom of God comes suddenly, dynamically, apocalyptically, arrives and destroys all things. So they had this understanding, that they had this perception of what the kingdom of God is meant to be like. It will come suddenly, completely destroying all evil and enemies. Yet yeah, in Luke 17, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, 'See here or see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you. The Jews did not conceive or relate to the servanthood style kingdom Jesus was talking about. This kingdom that would be coming humbly and quietly invading humanity. They didn't understand this. They couldn't reconcile with their preconceived ideas of what the kingdom should be like. The amazing thing is, this parable says that the seed of the kingdom, which is small and insignificant, the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. Within it, everything that is needed to produce it is contained in something so small and insignificant. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God. It's so small and insignificant. And Jesus tells this parable that he says, the word of God is the seed of the kingdom, and the kingdom is like a sower that went to sow it. Sowed it everywhere. Small, insignificant. Yet some of it grows. And it's so interesting. It's not about the growing, because as we read this parable, if we hear this parable, the seed was sown everywhere. And actually, some of it actually received the seed, and that seed actually germinated. That seed actually started to grow. But not all the seed produced fruit. Some of it grew, but it didn't endure. Some of it grew, but it was choked by the weed. Some of it had no life in it, but yet there was some of the seed that not only was received, but it grew. And then when it became mature, it produced fruit. That's the heart of the parable. That the word of God is the seed of the kingdom, and that seed is meant to produce fruit. It's not just the hearing of it, it's not just the receiving of it, it's not just the growth of it, but it's the fruit of it that the kingdom is about. Jesus tells another parable in Matthew 13. This is a mustard seed, by the way. Another parable he put forth before them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is greater than all the herbs of the earth. And it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. You see, the seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. Small and insignificant. Yet when it grows, it becomes larger than everything else. The kingdom of God starts insignificantly and small. It starts within us when the word is sown. Small and insignificant as it may be. In the sight of this world, harmless, insignificant. Jesus said, hear the parable of the sower. The word was sown everywhere. Small and insignificant. Some fell on the wayside, some fell among the thorns, some fell among the stones, and some fell on good soil. But you know what? When that seed grows, when it matures, it produces fruit. Oh, and when the fruit comes, that is when the kingdom is arriving. That's when the kingdom is established. And it's not out there, it's in you, it's in me. The question this evening is the kingdom growing in you? Is the kingdom growing in you? Is the seed, the Word of God, is the Word of God growing in you? Small and insignificant as it may be. Some may think it's only a book. No, it's not. It's the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word of God is powerful, insignificant as it may seem to this world, but for those who receive it, for those who nurture it, for those in whom it grows, it comes to maturity. And when it does, suddenly the harvest is there. 160 and a 30-fold. It's the kingdom of God in you and me. But it starts with something small and insignificant. It's called the Word of God. Is that Word growing in you? In Mark 4, we read Jesus speaking to his disciples after he told this parable to the multitude. They came to him and they asked him. They said, Lord, explain to us this parable. And you know, Jesus makes this remark, which is so significant. He says to them, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Do you not understand this? How then will you understand all the parables? If you cannot understand this parable, if you cannot understand this concept, if you cannot see this, how will you ever be able to understand all the others? This is the foundation of it. The kingdom is like a seed. The seed is the Word of God. Small and insignificant, but when it grows, it becomes like a tree larger than all the things around you. This is the foundation. Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And I want us to go back to verse 18. You know what is so interesting? If you start to read it. One back. No, you were there. Go back. There we go. If you start to read this parable, then the explanation of it, the Word of God, which is the seed that was sown, small and insignificant, you know what? Everybody heard it. Everybody heard the word that says there. And they hear the word. 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 But hearing the word did not produce fruit in everybody. Yes, some heard the word and it did nothing. Some received it with joy and some it actually grew in them, but it didn't produce fruit in everyone. Only 25% of the seed that was actually sown actually produced fruit. And this is what it's all about. It is the Word of God in you and me that produces fruit. This is the kingdom of God. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says, don't you understand this? If you don't understand this, how will you understand all the other parables? the fruit that is produced, the fruit of the word in us, is the application of it. It's the manifestation of it. It's the transformation. It's when we become Christ-like. That is the fruit. That is the purpose of the kingdom. The purpose of the kingdom is to sow in us godliness, Christ-likeness. Jesus came into the world so that we can become like Him. That's the kingdom. That's the seed. That's the word. That's the purpose of the word in you and me. It's not just the hearing of it, but it's the application of it. It's being transformed by it. It is becoming like Christ because of it. And that's what the kingdom of God is. That's why Jesus said, you won't say here it is or there it is, because it's within you. My question is the seed growing in you? Is the kingdom growing in you? You know, some hear the word and they don't understand it. They don't understand it because, like the Jews and the Pharisees, they had a preconceived idea of what the kingdom is meant to be like. They had a preconceived idea of how God should be and how God should act. And I've met so many Christians that come to me with a preconceived idea of what the kingdom ought to look like and what it ought to work like and what God is meant to be like. And we come to God with a preconceived, we read the word with the preconceived idea. And it bears no fruit because we don't understand it. It's so challenging. It's so different. And sometimes the word can be so plain. It can be so clear. And people will give you 101 reasons why it's not that. It's not what I hear what you're saying. I hear what Jesus is saying here. I hear what the word is saying, but it is not that. This is what it really means, because we have a preconceived idea of who God is and what He should do and how He should do things and how it could fit into our world. And we cannot even read the plain meaning of the word. We do not understand it, and we try to change it. We try to fit it into our world, our perception of how things should be like. And the word produces no fruit. And then there are those who hear the word and they receive it initially with great joy. But it doesn't endure. It doesn't last. It germinates, it grows, but it never comes to maturity. The fruit never is produced by it. The moment tribulation and persecution come, they stumble and fall. And I'm not even talking about the persecution that our brothers and sisters is facing in the Middle East and in China. I'm not even talking about persecution like that. I'm just talking about internal persecution. When Jesus calls us out of the world, He sets us free from darkness and sin, and He calls us to Himself. And we make a decision. We make a decision to follow Jesus. We receive this word, this good news, and we start to follow Jesus. But the moment we do, we face the reality that the world no longer identifies with us. The world no longer celebrates us. And all of a sudden, our friends who we used to drink with, who we used to smoke with, who we used to laugh with over all these jokes, all of a sudden, we are confronted by the fact that I'm no longer with you. I'm now with Jesus. And this internal conflict, because all of a sudden I need to choose whether I'm still going to be popular here or whether I'm going to follow Jesus. And I face the reality of the persecution of my friends and family. He says, why have you changed? Why are you not drinking with us anymore? Why are you not smoking with us anymore? What has happened to you? And so many times we face this challenge and this persecution, and you know what? We go back there. We try to justify why it's okay to keep on doing the things that we used to do. And the word produces no fruit in us. And then there are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world, their pension and their living standard, their legacy and their pride, even great men of God, it consumes them to the point where even the plain reading of the word no longer makes sense to them. and they try to change it to fit how they see life. They no longer see it. And the fruit of the word is no longer in their lives. It's no longer visible. Oh, and then the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, the deceitfulness of riches. First Timothy 6:9. The word of God says, those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap. Those who want to get rich fall into a trap. You know how many Christians I've spoken to that have this grand idea of how they're going to serve God. God is going to make them a millionaire. God is going to bless them financially. And when God has blessed them financially, then they are going to minister to the Lord. The deceitfulness of riches. Those who want to get rich fall into a trap. It's a trap. You don't need to be wealthy to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, give everything away and follow me. He told his disciples, don't take extra money with you or extra sandals. Just follow me. You don't need to be wealthy to follow Jesus. You don't need to be wealthy to minister. Those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And the seed produce no fruit. How about then, this verse 23. Those who hear the word and they receive it with a humble, listening heart. And apply it. It produces fruit. They take the word. They shape their lives according to the word and not the word according to their lives. They conform to it and not try to conform the word to where they are at, but they conform their lives towards it. It produces fruit in them. And as they apply, as they start to live it, they become more like Christ, you know, the teachable and the hearing heart with humility. And it's because of the love and the trust and the faith in Christ that we live like He lives. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Because Jesus says, this is the way I used to be here. And we see Jesus' life is so different. We see His teaching is so completely different to what the world says. And all of a sudden, when I hear the truth, when I read it and I understand it and I receive it and I make a choice, I'm going to live like this, not because I have to, but because I want to, because I love God and I trust Him and I have faith in Him and I know that He's the good shepherd, and where He leads me, there's life. And I make this decision to follow me. It's in that moment where the seed produces in me fruit. And I start to do like Jesus do. And speak like Jesus speak. And think like Christ thinks. And I start to turn my back on the world. And even on my own desires. But I pursue His desires. It's when I become more like Jesus. It's the seed that is received in the heart that produces fruit. And the fruit of the word, that is God's character and God's ways manifesting through me. It's when God's character and God's ways start to manifest in and through me that the kingdom of God is within me. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is when we become like the King. When we submit to Him and His ways and His thoughts. And not only submit to them, but become like them. That is the children of God. That is Romans, which says even creation longs, it yearns for the revelation of the sons of God. That's when the word becomes fruit in us. Jesus came to the earth not just to die for our sins, but to establish the kingdom of God on earth. He came to this dark world that was captive in sin and in darkness. And Jesus came into this world to plant the flag, to announce that the kingdom of God is here. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn, because the kingdom is here. He came to announce it. He came to explain it. And then he came to recruit for it. He says, I have come to establish the kingdom here in the midst of darkness. I have come to establish the kingdom of God, so that whosoever wants to can come. Now come. Let me teach you what this is. Let me teach you this kingdom. It's completely different, but let me teach you how this kingdom works and how it looks like. And whoever wants to can come. And the only way you can come into this kingdom is through me. It's the only way. But if you make a decision to come and you come through me, I will empower you to become like this. But this is what it's like. This is who you're going to become like. This is what it's all about. So come. It's time. The kingdom is here. You know, it's so interesting. Almost all of Jesus' parables starts with this phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. He speaks here in the kingdom of darkness, and he proclaims, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Let me explain to you. This is how it works. For whosoever wants to come, this is what it's all about. Now, this is how my kingdom works. This is what it looks like. And this is how you move into it. You move through me. But if you decide to, if you receive the seed with humility and you commit to apply it, you know what? Christ will empower you through the Holy Spirit to become this very thing. And He will change you. You don't need to change yourself. He will change you. He will change you. And that fruit, it will increase. And all of a sudden, it's 160 and a 30-fold. All of a sudden, you see how people, for years, seed has been sown in their life. For years, they've been coming to church. And some not even coming for church. But all of a sudden, the seed produces a harvest. And you can see it. That's why I come back to church. I come back to church because I can see seed is growing in people. I can see that seed is not just growing. I can see fruit. And it's amazing. Sometimes people sit in your church for years and then all of a sudden there's a harvest. All of a sudden the seed that has been growing comes to maturity and there's 160 and 30-fold. There's nothing more exciting. And we see it from time to time in people's lives. I don't want to use too many examples, but this is how we know somebody is in Christ and in His kingdom. The way we know that somebody is in Christ, in His kingdom, is the way he lives. You look at his fruit. That's why Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. If you want to know who's in and who's out, just look at their fruit. Jesus said you can't say you love me and hate your brother. Then you're a liar. You're deceived. Because if you truly know me, you will be like me and you will not hate your brother, but you'll love your brother because I love your brother. The scripture is full of that. It's about the fruit. It's not how we get into the kingdom. We don't get into the kingdom by our fruit, by our works. No. That's not how we get into the kingdom. We get into the kingdom by faith because of His grace. Because of His grace towards us. He gives us an opportunity not to earn it, but to come as we are, broken, sinful. It's by His grace through faith we enter into it. No, fruit is not how you enter into the kingdom. It is the evidence that you are in the kingdom. That is how you know that you're in it. It's not how you get into it, but this is how you know that you're in it. This is how you know anybody's in it. You look at their fruit. The parable of the sower. That is why I come back to church. Because I see that the question this evening, is it growing in you? I mean, this evening, isn't that what's happening? Something small and insignificant. It's been sowed. I come back because I hope there's more than 25%. Is the seed growing in you? Is the kingdom growing in you? Well, I know there are many in which it is. And that's why I'm back here week after week. Keep on sowing. There are some fall amongst the wayside. Some fall amongst the thorns. Or some fall among the stones. But, oh, there's some in which it grows to maturity and it produces a harvest. Are you receiving it? With preconceived ideas or with humility? Are you accepting it as it is, and or are you trying to change it to fit into your world? You know, in our nation, something happened in Bloemfontein, in that prayer meeting, where more than a million people came together to worship God. Something happened there. Like I shared, it wasn't bread, but it was seed. One day there was nothing. The next day there was a harvest of more than a million people bowing their knees before God. And the next day it was all gone. The harvest was taken. But it wasn't bread, it was seed. Because that seed, that harvest, it was there in a day. The next day it was spread all over this nation. It was seed that was sown. A living seed. There's such a great expectation for on harvest. Not that the seed has changed. The message is still the same. The word of God is still the same. But we have an expectation that the ground has changed. The hearts have changed. The hearts have changed. We are excited about this. Which soil are you? Are you receiving the word? This evening, before we go on to the other parables, do you understand this parable? Do you understand it? Because everything else builds on it. Small and insignificant as the word may be, it grows. You know, the seed is not the problem. Problem is not the seed. Soon I will be sending you out. Yes, you come here every Sunday to receive. But soon I'll be sending you out. Like sheep among the wolves. In a hostile world, they will hate you for it. But you need to have faith in the seed. You need to believe it. You need to be sure that you trust the seed, that you understand what the seed is. You need to understand what the word of God is. You need to trust in it. You need to believe in it. Because I'm going to send you with it. I'm going to send you into this world and you're going to sow the seed. And I don't want you to be discouraged if some fall among the wayside and people don't understand it and they don't want to receive it. I don't want you to get encouraged when you see some embrace it, but the cares of the world and the deceitful of riches chokes it and it doesn't endure. And I don't want you to be discouraged when you see, because of persecution and decisions that people need to make, whether they can count the cost and they decide not to, that you will be discouraged, but that you will continue because of the 25% that receives it, understands it, and applies it, and it produces fruit in them. Soon you will be going with the seed and you'll be sowing. Oh, you know, when you see it grow, when you see it producing a harvest, all of a sudden, you know what? Old Christopher at the back, we were praying for his parents. And all of a sudden they come to church. All of a sudden they respond to altar calls. All of a sudden they come to intercession. All of a sudden. for years seed has been sown and all of a sudden it starts to grow. All of a sudden. So I want to encourage you. Have faith in the seed. Embrace it in your own life. Let it change you. Let it bear fruit in you. So that you may have confidence in sowing it again. Because soon you will. Soon you will. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have chosen the foolish things of this world. You have chosen the foolish things of this world to make nothing of the wisdom of this world. You have chosen the insignificant things. You have chosen your word to be the seed, so that whosoever believes, whosoever embraces, whoever chooses to have faith and trust in your word and what you say about your son, who he is and what he has done and what he has promised. Whosoever believes, whosoever trusts and follows and nurtures this inherits everything. Lord, I want to thank you that you have not hidden this from us. You have not shown it to the wise and the powerful, but to the average, to the normal, to so whosoever. God, I thank you that this word is alive. It is powerful. As we embrace it for what it is, if we embrace it with humility and an openness, and a willingness to be changed by it. If we embrace it and we nurture and we cherish it. And we allow it to shape us and not try to shape it, but allow it to shape us. Oh God, it grows and it produces in us fruit. God, I want to pray for every heart here this evening, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, for all the seed that has been sown, Lord. I pray, Lord, as the farmers, Lord, are plowing and preparing, Lord, with faith they sow, Lord. I speak in faith that your word will grow in me, in us, and that it will grow to this place where all of a sudden, the harvest comes and it grows to become the largest in the garden of life. It becomes a tree where others will find safety and security because of the life in us. So God, I pray that you will come and fill us. Lord, plow in our hearts, plow deep. Prepare us for your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Let us just stand and we're just going to worship this evening, and I want to end this meeting here, and I want to give you an opportunity. If it's time for you to go, you're more than welcome. There's some coffee and refreshments, but we're just going to continue to worship, and I'm going to be here in the front for a few minutes, and if you need a prayer, if you want to respond, if there's anything that you have a desire for, pray for, I'm going to be here for a moment or two, but we're just going to worship.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.